This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court, everybody.
Dungeon.
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, Tanner.
Indeed.
And let's face it, he's just lowly bailiff.
Just two? It feels uncomfortable with just two.
I don't know.
Like,
it's been a minute.
Like a pair
Rule
of creepy twins.
It's been a minute. Me and Jake just don't feel very close right now, so I feel like I can't razz him because like we're barely friends or acquaintances at this point.
Oh, wow. Wait a second. Now I'm actually insulted.
I noticed the distance, but I didn't know if
yeah,
you guys
it was awkward.
That you were projecting
it was weird
the distance.
When he pulled
We've
up,
got to go to a couple dinners so Murph can be mean to me.
It's true, and Jake is wearing a super interesting hat on stream today.
Yeah,
so like it seems like it's ripe for razzing.
That's right.
I'm thrown off because sometimes he does wear interesting hats, but that one, that hat was a bit. That's not a real hat.
It's a false hat.
Caldwell made up a false hat.
It's a false hat operation.
Yeah, my head's naked today.
Yeah,
and honestly, that's the problem. It looks disgusting. Put a hat on.
One time, you wore an orange like Parappa the Rappa beanie.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
really interesting.
Yeah,
it was a pretty interesting hat.
What's everyone's most interesting hat that they own that you like try to pull off, but you know that you really can't?
Oh, I definitely got a couple bucket hats.
Oh yeah, it's got some interesting hats.
I've got you guys got me a Dungeon Docent bucket hat for Hot Boy Summer,
which I have never seen you rock. It's true.
I have rocked it. I brought it to New York with me.
Really?
It was packed. I got you a Sonic the Hedgehog bucket hat.
I think I saw you at LeBain, the club at 4 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, I was drinking Moet and Chandon out of my bucket hat.
Can I get hat service? That's what that means.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good. Bucket service. Okay, hear ye, crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are, of course, presiding.
Mm-hmm. Wait
in
a
our
second,
first case,
we didn't hear Caldwell's most interesting hat.
We don't need to run down the interesting hat.
No, I just
realized we're going to stop the podcast.
As I said that, I would say 95% of the audience was screaming at the audio already.
Tell us about
but the hats. We didn't hear Caldwell's.
Okay. Well, Caldwell asked the question so he could talk about his interesting hat, I imagine.
He actually was an interesting hat guy at one point.
This is the thing, is I used to have an interesting hat. I used to be a newsboy cap guy.
Yeah. Oh, I think I do recall
and
that.
I feel like I don't know what my... what my like future version of that is, because I feel like one day I will get back.
You
to
can
you
go back
me?
There,
old man with a pageboy cap shit. Is boy iconic. Cap.
Right, I did. You know,
I hope you didn't throw it away.
I lost it in a cab, and Sue silently rejoiced that.
Yeah,
but it's true. I just turned 40, or I'm turning 40 very soon. So maybe I could get back to it.
When you're 63, it's coming back.
It's more of a 63 thing.
You know what I should do is I should get like a glass case.
Yeah, break on your 63rd birthday.
Yeah, well, we'll get it for you now and you can hang on to it. Breaking case of 63.
Whoa.
It's really good.
Okay,
62,
now.
62, I'm going to be so horny for it.
Now we can actually return.
We didn't do Murphs yet.
Okay.
I don't have any interesting hats. My head only fits like trucker hats, essentially. I have the mesh. Mm-hmm.
He didn't bring it up. I felt like since you brought it up, the audience was screaming.
They were screaming for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jake, please read a case.
Okay.
Well, I will as soon as I talk about my interesting hat.
Shit, Jake might actually have an interesting hat.
Shit. I actually have a lot of interesting
Jake's
hats.
Jake's definitely got one of those little like bike caps that you wear on bike rides. It's got the super... rim.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a gear guy.
Yeah, I do have one of those. Okay, Jackson F. writes, "Dear superfluous judges and awesome hat bailiff James."
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
No, really?
No,
of
I
course
threw that
not.
In.
This can't be, I'm freaking out.
They did write awesome bailiff James.
I was like, you are a prophet.
I present to you the case of the leftover chips. I've been playing with a table of friends that I've known for years, and I joined their home game about a year ago. We meet every other week on Sundays to play, and it has been good. The problem lies...
just good. Just
forced at gunpoint.
Not great, but good.
Yeah. It's been good, not great. The problem lies in our snack assortment. Mm. Each player is expected to bring a snack slash drink to each session. That way, we have a variety of things to enjoy. However, our human fighter, let's call him John, has had issues with this. He's been bringing big boxes of individual snack chips, but when they are not finished or only the subpar snacks are left, i.e. Funyuns and Fritos, he claims that he should not have to buy snacks again until all the chips are gone, as they would, quote, last longer than most snacks. We have had some heated arguments about this, what? And I wanted to ask your opinions on our snack squabble. I put myself at the mercy of the crit.
This is a great one to start off with.
So yeah. Is John purposely sabotaging the snacks that he brings by specifically bringing ones that last longer so he can repackage them?
I think John is bringing those like big variety packs chips and the Cheetos are getting eaten, the Lays are getting eaten.
Right.
But the Funyuns and the Fritos.
And the Fritos.
Which, crazy to say that Fritos aren't a top tier chip.
I thought that those were both a wild swing to say, oh, no one wants them, but here we are.
Yeah, especially at D&D. I'm eating snacks I would never consider eating at D&D.
I think Fritos are top tier. Mm-hmm. Funyuns I could take or leave, but I feel like they have a cult following. You would think somebody at the table would want them.
Certainly. I kind of think, my suggestion is about to coddle John, so I apologize for that. But if anyone in your crew enjoys cooking for the hangouts, you've got Frito pie you can make.
Whoa.
You can make chicken tenders.
You're just
with
putting more work on
Funyun.
Other people.
I said if they liked you already.
But John brought the Funyuns. Yeah. John brought them.
But I'm saying that also gets rid of it, so John has to show up yet again.
There's at least 30 recipes you can make with Fritos.
Yeah.
Frito pie, Frito casserole.
You could require John to make a dip.
Frito cream.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Ooh. If John brings a dip, the Funyuns get better. The Fritos get better.
Yeah, that's different, I would say. Yeah. If you make something out of it.
Yeah, I think I really think this is open and shut. Yeah. Make John bring a dip.
Oh, you make John make a dip.
They're also mini bags, right? I don't think you're making anything out of it. I don't think you make a Frito pie out of one tiny bag.
But it sounds there's a surplus of chips.
Yeah. Well, aren't they? Presumably, it's like a snack pack.
Yeah, but I think it's a big one.
If John's bringing nine huge bags of chips, then what the fuck are we talking about?
John's bringing the Costco sampler.
How big is a Costco sampler?
They could be huge.
We have to look at this. Because if it's huge, then what the fuck are we talking about? John's a saint.
It is true. But
I'm thinking it's just this little, it's a little sampler. And there's a bunch of duds in there.
I'm seeing boxes of 50 bags.
That's what I'm
there's
saying.
No way that's what this is.
It's absolutely that.
He's bringing I think 50 it is that. Bags?
Yeah.
Why is this a Dude, case then?
He's bringing the Frito-Lay Classic Mix Variety Pack.
Then John rocks.
Count.
Then John rocks.
But I think the problem is.
End of case.
The problem is John is saying that he is exempt from bringing future snacks because he brought a Costco sampler once.
Yes, that's what we're saying. He's trying
John
to
bought in bulk, and he's showing up every single week
with the same
diminishing box.
God,
he's flaunting his Costco membership.
I apologize.
Yes, Murphy, you've been all over.
You got so heated.
You need to take a sip of coffee because you're not there yet.
you choked Caldwell, dude. We cut it out. We cut it out, but you choked him for 30
That's
seconds.
I can't stop laughing at the scratches at live shows.
I'm still thrown off by how many bags of chips John brought.
Okay, so let me read what's in the classic sampler. You got Doritos, Fritos, Classic Lays, Cheetos, Doritos, Barbecue Lays, and cheddar and I think
That's
some sort
not
of
it.
Onion ruffles. Yeah.
That's not it because there's no Funyuns. So we haven't found it. We haven't found it.
Toss
we haven't
it
found
out.
The chip sampler, okay. But we have put into Murph's mind that there can be a 50-pack of chip sampler.
Yeah. Where are we getting? Did he? It said Costco.
No, it didn't, Murph. We just all happen to know what that is, and you apparently don't.
So you guys are just fucking wrong. Wasn't this thing.
I have it now. It's the Frito-Lay Snacks Family Fun Mix.
Frito?
Okay.
Okay, I'm Googling this. Frito-Lay.
It's got Lay's. It's got Cheetos. Two types of Cheetos. It has Ruffles. Okay. It has Fritos. And it has Funyuns.
This is no fucking joke. This is No. Okay. No. This could be a fucking joke. Because there's 42 counts. There's 28 counts. There's 18 counts.
Okay.
18 counts is still a lot.
No matter what, this person is showing up with a extended family size pack.
Right.
And then saying, I shouldn't have to bring anything, even though the snacks that everyone's hyped about have depleted. And now they're staring at Fritos and Funyuns, which they are not enjoying.
Right. I got the 18 pack. There's still 4 bags of chips in here.
Exactly.
There's still chips left, says John.
That's kind of enough to make a small skillet Frito pie.
I do? Yeah, Emily.
And we're back.
Emily's right. I have a tiny little cast iron that's perfect for making one egg.
Yeah.
You can make a tiny, personal pan Frito pie.
Yeah.
God.
Again,
I wonder why
you have
that.
This is if someone else in your crew does enjoy the process of cooking for D&D night. Mm-hmm. If not, then John's got to make a dip.
Right.
I think John has to make a dip.
regardless.
Certainly. I will also say,
John's not making a dip.
This is, I'm not going full on devil's advocate here, but I do want to say that the leftover Funyuns could be used as like status rings for your minis.
Oh, that's really good. I was thinking of breading some chicken tenders.
We're not saying, John, throw out the extra bags. We're saying you got to buy a new family fun pack. Or, hey, let's face it. If people don't like two out of the freaking five things in this pack or two out of the six things in this pack,
don't buy it.
Quit buying the family fun pack.
Because it's not that fun for your family.
If they all love the Cheetos, then buy a bag of Cheetos rather than a family fun pack in which they have to fight over the Cheetos.
Yeah,
that's true.
You got to buy some voodoo chips, man. You got to get some zaps
like,
up in the mix.
A family fun pack is fun because everyone's finding out what works for them. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, the family knows each other enough.
Let's say it was probably the family fun mix with 18 bags.
That's what I think, too.
How many weeks do you think that lasts you? That lasts you two, I think.
2 weeks for 18?
I think you could bring, could bring 18.
I'm just saying, yeah, it's also crazy.
Because there's other snacks. So I don't think people are demolishing like four bags each.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the best thing to do with these leftover Funyuns? I'm really hung up on the leftover Funyuns.
John is bringing boxes of reused Funyuns that no one wants. John is not making a dip.
I know that the holidays are pretty far away, but I could see like a Funyun ring, like ringing, decking your tree with like how they do like popcorn string, but Funyun string for your Christmas tree.
Funyun towers?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a flaming Funyun towers.
This is really putting the fun in family fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funyun.
Oh, that'd be nice. It's like you have like a taper candle in the middle, and as it burns down, it's lighting the Funyuns on fire. So you get like a nice oniony aroma.
Did your science teacher ever do that?
No. We
were learning about calories or like, you know, energy in like science one time. I think in like, you know, chemistry class. And our teacher just took a Funyun and lit it on fire.
Awesome.
Because they're just like so dense with calories.
Really?
They'll just burn.
Whoa.
Cool.
Did it smell amazing?
It did, and it did set off the sprinklers, and we had to go outside for the rest of the day.
Whoa, that's actually awesome, though. I would have had such a good day.
It ruined all the computers, and the school went under.
Yeah, it ruined my teacher's interesting hat.
Yeah. Okay,
so what are people saying? Because me, personally, I would be open to them being like, oh, how about this counts for two sessions?
Two is fine.
But I think once there's no excitement for the Funyuns or the Fritos, unless someone wants to make an individual Frito pie.
John's not doing that.
Right.
John needs to make a dip to move this bonk product.
John needs to stop buying freaking family fun packs because it just is not that fun if people don't like most of the chips. Frankly, they don't like goddamn near half the chips.
John's statement is that he should not have to buy snacks again until all of the chips
that's
are gone.
That's wild.
And I think that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right.
You don't get to, just because it's a box of quote unquote family fun, let's apply this to like a regular bag of chips. If you're just like, you idiots need to all suck down the dust before I buy a new bag of chips. Yeah.
Lick the bag, guys.
This is nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's asking you to lick the bag. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing.
Make a beautiful necklace out of Funyuns. Then we're done. Then we're Dunyun.
Yeah.
Okay. No. So, I mean, I think we have to punish John.
Right? I mean, I do think that making a dip to sell the chips that no one likes make them exciting to the people who feel unexcited by them is going to be a punishment for John.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I feel like that's how John makes good, but I want him to hurt. I want him to
John.
That's fair.
John needs to make a layer dip that equivocates to every type of chip he bought. So that's probably going to be what? How many chips were in the back?
I think it was more 18. Than 18. I think it was more than 18.
We don't. Why do you think it was more than 18? They're getting written into it for Dungeon Court.
I think John was like, this is a hack. I won't have to buy a snack for a year.
Mm-hmm. But John has a incorrect way of thinking because John thinks people should suck down Funyun dust as opposed to eating snacks that they like. So John's thinking is flawed.
Mm-hmm. No. Okay, fine. I also sentence John to make an individual Frito pie. Skillet.
John has to make an individual Frito pie, and I think John's got to buy this fucking 50 pack that you guys were saying John bought.
Are we saying this is all John can eat now?
I'm saying John can just eat family fun mix and see how John likes it.
I think John needs to bring this family fun pack to his family.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
This is how you only eat your, that your, and then your see kids, how fun
if you
it
have
is.
Kids. See how long the fun lasts.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So order.
That's all your family can eat.
But also make a dip and an individual Frito pie in an individual skillet. So if you don't have one of those, I personally don't. I've only seen them at restaurants. You're going to have to find out.
You can borrow Caldwell's.
Yes. You're going to have to
extended family skillet. Too. Extended family. You guys get a family fun mix. Mm-hmm. 18 pack. Make it last.
All right. So ordered. Our next case comes from Rook. Rook writes, Dear Honorable Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner, as well as the questionable but endearing court bailiff Jake. Thanks.
Wow. Yeah.
This was several years ago during one of the first campaigns I'd played, so I was still pretty new. I was playing a cleric and the party was in a church when a fight broke out. The crowd immediately started panicking and fleeing. During my turn, I cast an area of effect spell, I don't remember which one, on a group of bad guys. The DM asks, are you sure? This, of course, gave me pause. But I couldn't figure out why I wouldn't cast the spell. I spent a full 10 minutes going back and forth with both the DM and my own party trying to figure out why this was a bad idea. But even my own party refused to tell me. So I gave up and did it anyway. Lo and behold, there were still civilians in the church and I ended up killing 5 innocents and injuring another.
And no one told you?
This ended up affecting how the rest of the town treated us. The rest of the party gave me shit for this at the time, and they still maintain they're in the right and continue to razz me to this day.
Let's all take a moment to clap for this awesome DM that tricked their player.
Got him.
Because by nature of the game, you can't actually see because it's all pretend, so we fucking tricked him. You got him.
That's some family fun
that
right
there. That fucking rocks. That's a family fun pack right there.
And, yeah,
and let's give it up for the players, too, for just
we're not helping. We're not helping.
They know whose side they're on. God,
yeah.
Wow.
That's right.
You ever just like hand someone a controller upside down and not plug it in and just be like, you don't know how to play the game, you idiot.
I invited you over to have a bad time.
Yeah. Oh, man. Here, have some fun, you dust.
Choke on that.
Choke on that. I'm not buying anything else.
Waters for critters.
They continue to razz me to this day, but I thought all the people had fled the church. And while I don't necessarily blame the DM for not telling me,
should
my party have at least helped?
Yeah.
I think everyone.
And do they still have razzing rights? I leave this up to the court.
This is
okay. If they all knew that it was someone in there, you essentially were like, let's imagine you're actually on the battlefield. It's you being like, hey, am I cool to go after the church? And then a bunch of people seeing innocent civilians in there and being like, it's up to you, dude.
Yeah.
Your call. Oh, shoot it and find out.
It'd be so funny if you did this.
Yeah.
The only...
Yeah, I guess they're probably more complicit.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Not even that. Just like knowing homicide.
Right.
It would be like, I don't know, it'd be like someone asking for directions and you being like, drive through that store over there.
Yeah. Is it possible they craved the drama? No, because now they're razzing the person.
Yeah, they wanted to razz, and they couldn't earn it. They couldn't earn it the right way.
Yeah, you had to trick someone into a
manufactured razz.
Yeah, this is a manufactured razz.
This is an absolutely
faker than a fun
canned razzing.
Yeah,
and razzman.
In razzman. Yeah, you earn razz.
You earn razz. Which is actually like illegal.
Yeah, this is there's no the DM should just tell you what the room looks like. Like that's just the DM's job.
Yeah. Right.
One thing I will point out, and I don't want to commit fully to this,
sure,
it feels off, but they did mention that they didn't remember what spell they cast. They kind of called out that
years
they didn't
ago.
Remember what spell. It was years ago.
Yeah, I think they say a few years back and they were a new player. So I think it's just hazy.
I would say the only thing I would call this player out about is if you're sitting there for 10 minutes on your turn and everyone's just like, we're not going to say anything.
Right.
And you still commit to that. That's kind of an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If I Could saw...
You, but you'd need to be razzed for that, I think.
Yeah.
Like, we were all trying to trick you, and you still got tricked.
Yeah, we made it really obvious.
Like, we made it really obvious that
for
we're trying
10
to trick
minutes,
you.
Your gut was screaming, I'm being tricked, and you said, I'm going to not listen.
Yeah.
But still, I think this is just
You'd need to be razzed about that specifically.
No, but I think that there's no lawful razz in here.
Yeah, no. This is it's in razzment. You're right. Yeah.
10 minutes is a long time to debate this, though.
It's a long time. But 10 minutes, like,
guys, what
years
are you doing?
Ago, it could have been a minute.
They wanted you to kill those innocents so bad.
They really wanted you to kill
those innocents. This is a new player.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could eat an entire Frito pie in 10 minutes.
You could make one in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Make and consume. Yeah. In my tiny little pan, in my tiny little skillet.
I guess also if everyone...
It's just for one. It cooks so quick.
It cooks so quick.
If everyone is being quiet, I guess you are just like, everyone here is fucking with me. So sometimes you don't even know how to take it.
And it's true. Like sometimes when you're like, everyone's fucking with me, you kind of just got to follow through. Be like, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this what you want?
Yeah. Fair. Fair.
All right.
Yeah, because you probably are like at a certain point, you're like, if they're not telling me not to, then there can't be a reason not to. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was going to kill people, they would tell me not to.
It's just straight up how, like, the game just works by the DM telling you what's there. Like, you're not actually an elf. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, this what? Is just
Speak
what the game
yourself,
is.
Speak for yourself, Murph.
Fair.
I am
Speak
an elf.
For your elf, Murph.
Yeah. We're all actually elves. Sorry, I have Sometimes I play esteem. A dwarf, but yeah. I'm an actual elf.
Yeah. Murph, our ears, we've glamored them to look short. You fool. we've been toying with you this entire time.
I'd be so mad if you guys were elves and I was a human. That would suck.
We'll be playing for another 200 years.
You are merely a pawn in our current
this
game.
This is a simple fey trick that we like to play. The long con, as it were. The council shall be pleased with our mirth.
This is why I scurry to the woods at night.
Have you never noticed all the milk baths I take between recordings, Murph?
All right, I take it back. I actually don't want to be an elf with you guys. All right, so this is in Razmit. This is Clad. Why the fuck are people trying to trick their friends so bad?
Especially a new player. And it's also, like, it should be on your best behavior.
Just trying to trick people with the mechanics of the game is so fucking weird. It's like playing a video game in the tutorial, just being like, I'm going to tell them it's triangle to punch when it's not.
Yeah,
like triangle makes you use a health potion.
Shit, that'd just be like, so subversive.
That'd be so.
Oh,
subversive,
that sucks when you use a health potion, but you meant to punch.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Resident Evil Requiem.
That's the worst.
Always pressing that right bumper.
You thought you were pressing triangle, but you press square. I know everyone's dead, and it's your fault.
You fucking idiot. Yeah. So what seven people sitting around making fun of that person.
So what about as a punishment? All of these players and the DM are sentenced to have all of the buttons in their every single console controller. Switch around.
I love that.
Oh,
and then a gaggle.
Mm-hmm.
The peanut gallery, the peanuts gang, in fact, make fun of them.
Spark well, Charlie.
Can you imagine Sparky's someone so deeply sad razzing you?
If Charlie Brown just went in on you, like he flips.
Like suddenly there was a life in his eye that you've never seen.
And he
before.
Said he starts off by saying, I'm sick of this shit. And he looks you in the eye and just goes off on every one of your insecurities.
Guys, Charlie Brown tore me a new one. Sparky's whole crew came out.
Charlie Brown just says fuck it, looks at you and goes, you're a bad dad, Caldwell.
What? Franklin, back
no
me
one
up.
Else is saying it, but I will. Everyone's thinking it.
Linus, why are you letting him talk to me like this?
And Linus just fucking backs him up.
What are you gonna do, hit us with your tiny skillet?
It's perfect for one egg.
They're children, you can't hit them with a skillet.
It's a child-sized skillet, I say.
All right,
Peppermint Patty's strong. I could whack her, right?
Yeah, okay, that's true. She'd overpower you.
Yeah, she'd be good.
I've seen her on the field. She'll overpower
she'd
you.
She'd make me eat that skillet.
Yeah.
So the Peanuts Gang.
Uh huh. Yeah. Peanuts
okay,
Gang.
So
we're gonna roast them.
Okay.
Yeah, getting roasted by the Peanuts Gang while their controllers betray them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good luck playing Pragmata now.
And then Peppermint Patty wails on you with a tiny skillet.
Yeah. Yeah. Peppermint Patty then kicks your ass silently.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't even, you don't even hear her say Chuck. She doesn't even talk to
wordlessly.
Charlie Brown.
Excellent ass kicking, sir.
You see, Charlie Brown just goes off on you.
They basically,
and then Peppermint
like,
Patty, just stewing, walks past him like she's been thinking about killing you the whole time, and then beats your ass. And eventually the other Peanuts crew tells her to calm down.
Hey, come on. He's not worth it. Yeah.
Pigpen shoves dirt up your nose. You're done.
Okay, so ordered. Our next case comes from The Good Ending. They write, for the beautiful boy and my best friend Job and the trio of terror, I bring you the case of the every class and subclass. A few years back, I attempted my first ever campaign as a DM. It was with a group I had been a player in, but the DM wanted a break, so I stepped in.
Nice.
I asked all my players to come up with characters and backstory, and I said that I would allow some homebrew. It would just have to be approved by me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. One of my players, a very passionate player, took this as homebrew was 100% on the table and proceeded to create a wizard character who had the ability to, at every rest, change classes, and at every short rest, change subclasses.
No.
He also,
can't you just say no?
If the DM let this happen, it's the DM's fault because this is wild.
He also had come up with an admittedly cool but long and complicated backstory he had spent a week writing. Okay. I was charmed. Having a player so invested in the world was amazing. But I told him that the idea of the character was just too overpowered. How was I supposed to plan encounters if he could just change who he was every rest? He promised not to abuse the power, and he had already been working on all 13 character sheets and said he would not make him too powerful. I put my foot down, and I told him no.
Yeah.
Wow. Good.
And he began to ghost me on Discord for a few nights.
Oh, not in Discord.
I will admit, I do believe he would have tried to make it fair, but I found it far too overwhelming for a first-time DM.
Yeah.
And it just felt wrong. He came back with a real character, a monk who was very cool, but I could tell for the whole campaign that he was disappointed not to play as Wizard of Many Faces. So I ask you, was I right to destroy my friend's passion project of a character, or should I have let the chaos of the multi-class class into my game?
No, I think you did exactly the right thing.
It was such a bad idea that had you allowed it, we would have blamed you.
Yes. I think that though your friend might have had fun doing that, it's possible that everyone at the table would have made it more difficult for people at the table to sink their teeth into the world if one of the mainstays of the party was constantly changing and they couldn't keep up.
Yeah. I mean, even if they were just that overpowered, if you come and you're like, oh, hey, if it's homebrew, can I have like a +1 sword that casts a spell?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh yeah, sure. Okay, great. And my character is 14 different classes.
Yeah.
I feel like there is a compromise you could have made where you're like, either choose, you can change your subclass on like a long rest, or you can become one other class after a long rest, but it's limited to you have maybe two different character sheets.
And even that would be you really stretching yourself.
For sure.
There has to be things you can make this character with like flavor, because wizards have access to so many spells of all these different classes.
Isn't this just magical secrets? Yeah. Isn't this just what a bard does, where like you just get other spells and abilities?
Oh yeah, there you go.
I was thinking that it's more like an Eladrin, where you like have four different seasons you can go into and
that's
you
cool.
can be changing it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of like, why couldn't they just narrow their scope? But
yeah,
I think that they had no right to feel mad at you for saying
definitely,
this is
yeah.
too
can't
much
to
for
play
a first
every
time
single
DM.
Class.
It's well, also
it's just a lot.
It's also such a red flag that like ghosting on Discord for being like, unless you make me super special, I'm not going to be your friend.
Yeah.
Unless you let me cheat in your game that you're doing all the work for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We just can't even talk.
I think it would have taken up an enormous amount of space campaign. I think it would be like, because usually like a lot of times it's not a bad thing to every single time there's a short rest, have some downtime where the PCs are getting to know each other. Instead, that downtime would have been the wizard describing their metamorphosis into a fighter. And
I
then
climb into my chrysalis.
Yeah.
And also it's just like different characters get to shine in different parts of the campaign.
Oh.
Like if you're playing a wizard, chances are you're going to really excel in like combat and like things where like maybe you need to like dispel magic or like any kind of like magical situation. If you're the rogue, you're going to be the one that sneaks ahead and everything. If you're the fighter, you're going to excel in combat. So you're making it so this person, their skills are applicable to every single situation. Mm-hmm. You're just making them the main character.
Yeah. You're like inviting overlap.
Yeah.
It's needless.
What they're playing is a red mage from Final Fantasy or Bravely Default. And even in those games, it's really tough to play a red mage because like they are jacks of all but masters of none.
Yeah.
So like, they have like access to spells from every class, but they don't get any of like the higher level advanced spells. And like that's really the way to do it is like you can dip into everything, but you're never going to get like the higher level shit that you
want. Which would just be multiclassing. Like you could absolutely, if you want to waste 13 levels and just be 13 levels of all every, are there 13 classes? I don't know. I'm just guessing. Is that what they said?
They said 13. They said they were preparing 13 character sheets. I don't know what that translates to.
Yeah, so yeah. If you were going to make a level 13 character that was level 1 in everything, by all means, that's there. And that's how that works.
I think that there's a...
that would be really fun.
A way more low-maintenance version of this, too, yeah. Where it's like... Because wizards, they get access to a lot of spells, but they have to choose... Yeah. Only a certain amount. So I feel like there is a version of this that's way less distracting. That's like, okay, I have like this wizard has all like the necromantic spells, and yeah. This wizard has all the transmutation spells. And this was like, maybe it was like you have a different spell list that you wake up to. And like that even is very overpowered, but yeah. It's still like, it would be so much less distracting for the group and for you.
Yeah, if you were going to homebrew something, you'd almost have to be like, maybe you have like unstable magic or something. Ooh. And like you wake up with a different specialty every day or something like that. Like yeah. It's like you roll for it or something.
That's
like that.
Fun.
But just yeah. The idea of being like, I know there's a heist tomorrow, so I'm going to be a rogue. I yeah. know I know we're entering a wizard's tower, so I'm going to be a wizard tomorrow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You know?
I don't even agree with what I'm about to say, but I'm just throwing it out there for argument's sake. Is there a world where this DM, rather than saying no, you know, tried to find the note behind the note and been like, well, I don't want you to play 13 different classes, but what are you trying to accomplish, rather than saying no?
I think they could have, but I think that like a lot of their defense is like, this is a lot for a first time DM.
Yeah.
And I think that accurate. It was smarter for in the long run for you to follow that instinct, because it yeah. even if you felt like, oh, they weren't as excited about their monk, you were probably able to show up for everyone else more than you would have been able to.
Yeah, I think for homebrew, they probably meant like, it's okay to use Grimhollow content. You know what I mean? They're not just like fucking break every right. rule ever.
It's so brazen to just like start working on 13 character sheets before you've cleared.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, I think like the red flag of being like, they're not talking to you on Discord and stuff. There was never any yeah. negotiating with this person. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You certainly didn't need to be punished for saying like, that seems like it will be hard.
Yeah. It's like making dinner plans with friends and then being like, I want a special seat. If I don't get a special seat, then I'm not talking to anyone.
Or even being like, hey, I want to have you guys over for dinner. I'm going to cook. And then having them send you like really fancy recipes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? No, I can't.
I want a paella burger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the menu I'm looking forward to eating.
Yeah.
I want all the types of seafood on a burger, please. Oh.
Do they put seafood on burgers ever?
Sure. Like a fish fillet.
No. Sorry. I mean like on top of a hamburger, like a ground beef patty.
Oh, like put seafood like on top.
Like a topping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like a surf and turf burger.
Yeah. I think the surf and turf burgers definitely exist. I can't think of what the time I've like had one, but they have
what's
to.
The surf that they put on top?
Maybe some fried shrimp or something.
Yeah,
like
throw
that.
Some shrimp on
there. Fried shrimp on a burger?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
right?
I've
seen
yeah.
it all.
I could see that. Yeah, you put fried onions on a burger.
Crunch that down, tails and all.
Whoa. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so come over to my house. I'll make you one of my tiny skillet.
We have to punish this wizard of many faces to get their asses kicked by Peppermint Patty.
Yeah, I think so. Great, yeah. I think Peppermint Patty is our executioner today.
Yeah.
Skillet wielding Peppermint Patty.
Yeah. And the other, see, with the other person, they're getting made fun of by the Peanuts crew. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they kind of sense the growing tension in the room as Peppermint Patty showed up and kicked their ass.
I do think this person,
Peppermint Patty's just going to break down your door. Kick this wizard's ass.
That's too bad, because I was about to say that the first one like does have an erotic tinge to it, just getting like dressed down by like the Peanuts gang while Peppermint Patty spanks you with a skillet.
Right.
But this one, kind of we've taken there. Anything you could cling to yes. out of there, out of the mix.
It's purely out of the realm of passion.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's not charged at all.
Yeah.
You're just like going to a vending machine, you get clocked over the back of the head with a skillet.
We're paying Peppermint Patty to do this. Mm-hmm. She is a bounty hunter.
Oh, you know what would be cool? If you get your ass kicked with a skillet, you basically pass out. You don't even see what happened. Then later you review security footage and you say, holy shit, is that Peppermint Patty?
Oh, and it was Peppermint Patty.
You see, and Peppermint Patty, she's also like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like she's like, still a cartoon and you're still a human.
This doesn't make sense.
You can't even report it. Like, right. Because people will just be like, this is AI. Peppermint Patty yeah, really exactly. come to life to kick your ass.
She's not real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's not real.
Yeah.
So ordered. Our next case comes from Mystery Soup to the Honorable Justices and Jorts. For the longest time, me and my friends been gaming together for about a decade now.
Right on.
Right on.
Let's get a quick amen for 10 years of gaming.
10 years of gaming, everybody.
Yeah, dude.
Shout out Bloodborne.
Oh, yeah.
What?
It was 10 years ago, I think. Yeah.
I think you said that so confidently.
Well, I don't know. I think more, actually. It might be like 13, 14. Yeah.
So definitely, you can celebrate their 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it has happened.
Oh, okay. Wow. You just celebrate it really belatedly.
Yeah. We've had a meets it, beats it rule in regards to player roles versus NPC roles.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I had the idea that it could be fun to introduce roll-offs in that situation where the player rolls against the NPC in front of the table for a nice dramatic moment.
Okay.
Oh.
I proposed the idea and told my players they could vote on it. After the final votes were tallied, roll-offs won. The problem, though, is that I introduced this idea mid-session, right after my friend, our other forever DM, had just rolled to meet an NPC roll. My friend had voted against the roll-offs, but was still willing to participate since the table had decided.
Okay.
I went to go get a tray to roll off into when my friend announced, I got a 19. Judges, I trust my friend with my life. We have fought together hammer and axe through the end times.
Mm-hmm.
I know he got a 19, but he didn't roll it in my big tray in front of everyone.
I brought my big boy tray.
Fuck. That is really tough.
Got a tiny skillet and a big tray. I told him, I'm sorry, but you have to roll it.
No, come on.
I love it.
No.
I love it, you little maniac.
Destroy the court.
This is your brother. This is your brother in arms.
I mean, I'm technically against it, but I also love it.
They voted against it.
You fought through the cathedral ward, through Azeroth.
So I know he got a 19, but he didn't roll it in my big tray in front of everyone.
Yeah.
I told him, I'm sorry, but you have to roll it in front of us. He said, no, I'm not rolling.
Whoa.
I said, you have to re-roll or you forfeit and the NPC wins. He said again, I'm not re-rolling.
Whoa.
So I then narrated the NPC seeing through his lie and continued on with the session. Justices, I kind of felt like a dick. He rolled that 19.
Yeah.
He rolled that 19.
Yeah.
It would have been hard for this NPC to beat it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be dramatic. I wanted a suspenseful role where all my players eagerly stared into the box lid tray in the center of the party.
And it would have happened the next time.
Yeah, really would have. You were going to get it no matter what.
Yeah.
That big tray would see its day.
It's a box lid? You made it seem like it was a cool tray. You made it seem like it was a real cool tray. It's just the lid of a box.
I literally thought it was like heirloom from your parents or something like that. Yeah,
my parents used to roll on this.
Yeah, you this was to a get samovar it. Tray.
Was I right to make him roll again, or was I being a DM dictator focused more on the moment than the mood? I ask the punishment please be elaborate, cruel, and harmful.
I feel like the D stands for diva in this instance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you spelled out exactly what happened here.
Yeah.
Which is that you're way too focused on trying to manufacture this moment when it wasn't a moment. It's you changed the rules mid-session, which is like kind of strange. I thought this was literally just going to be like, and then they both rolled a 15 and the player lost the roll off.
Yeah.
Like, was that a bad idea? And even that, I would have been like, yeah, maybe. I don't know if you should be changing the fucking rules mid-session. This, to me, is egregious.
Yeah.
You know, you did create drama. You wanted drama. You just created the wrong kind.
Yeah.
I think
you
also,
drama and you got it, sir.
The way you phrased it, too, is like the player said no, and then you said it again, and they said no again. So you knew the whole time that you were knocking down a door. Or that you didn't want
and
to
I know
down.
It's I know there's gonna be people that are just like it's nuts for the player to say no to the DM or whatever, but asking for a re-roll on a roll that you already did is very strange. And it does, like, imagine how deflating and frustrating that would be to roll a 19 and just be like, no, Caldwell, I want to see you roll it in my specific way. And then you roll again, you roll a 3. Like, that's bullshit.
You would definitely feel robbed. And also, like, not to bring the church into this, but that is against the will of
fully
Dice
against
Christ.
Dice Christ.
Murph, we fought together against Diablo, brother. You would dishonor me this way?
Roll it in my shoebox, Caldwell.
So really, this
it smells.
I had to go upstairs to get this.
So really, this is almost like a matter of heresy, even beyond
this
law.
Is beyond.
And so I would suggest that you're punished. Would be sort of a Hieronymus Bosch painting where you're like in infernal
with all the
peanuts. You're exactly what I was gonna say, Caldwell. So picture amongst all those little like imps and dragons mm-hmm. and hell imagery. You're not in the paradise part of the Bosch yeah. building. You're in the hell right. part. Mm-hmm. And then also Peppermint Patty is yeah.
And this is appropriate because you
well,
know
Peppermint Patty is Satan, right?
You guys yeah. know you guys know what this DM is? This DM is being an absolute Lucy.
Yeah.
Like pulling the football out.
With the football, yeah.
This is the football
yeah.
move.
This is the yeah. football move. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you asked for a role. They gave you a role, but not in the way you wanted.
And Lucy will go to hell for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Lucy's in hell right now.
Right. She's dead and in hell.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Okay, so yeah. So yeah. then I think you and Lucy are going to be shackled and mm-hmm. Tortured by the penis right. patty.
Yeah, by Woodstock with a human ass.
Wow.
Holy shit.
For all eternity, forever and ever.
Well, now they have a little something to cling on to.
It's a little fun. it's lovingly rendered.
Okay, enjoy the afterlife. So ordered. Our next case comes from Cameron. To the honorable justices, I bow before you and to the bailiff. I dap you up, but please don't leave me hanging. Come on, man.
All right.
You know I got you. I bring you a case of alleged DM favoritism.
Ooh.
A few years ago, my friends and I were reaching the end of a four-year-long homebrew campaign, and due to decisions made by the characters, we all agreed and thought it'd be fun to end the campaign with a PvP 3-on-3, where myself, a Drake Warden Ranger, another player, and a DMPC, Artificer and Cleric, would face off against three other players, Homebrew Vampire Paladin, Necromancer with the Dragon Familiar, and a Min-Max Sorcerer Bard whose only goal in life was to stun.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Oh God.
Oh no. Oh no.
You guys are screwed. Because I love the flavor of a Drake Warden, but well, I remember it was not the strongest Ranger class.
Well, there's one of them is a DMPC, so that's interesting.
Mm. If this sounds slightly unfair, you'd be right, but we had one thing, my +3 Vorpal sword.
Okay.
Nice. My man's Vorping.
The battle begins, and the sorcerer bard cast telepathy on my character to disarm him and throw the sword into a pit.
Whoa.
I failed the save.
Whoa, that is so meta though, right?
Well, they're just doing PvP. I don't know. At that point, you're just playing Warhammer.
I rescind my opinion. I take it back. I shrink back into the corner. I have nothing worth saying.
I have nothing to say.
That's right. Let me speak, Emily. Finally.
However, the DM allowed my dragon familiar to use an opportunity attack to try and grab the sword, on which I rolled a nat 20.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
I like it.
The player then complained how that's not fair and stood up pointing at me, yelling, DM's pet, DM's pet, DM's pet.
Oh my God.
Wait, but why did they get a reaction after, why did they get an opportunity attack to grab a sword?
The DM allowed a dragon familiar.
They just allowed it because mm-hmm. they have the Drake Warden has a little Drake companion. So it's just kind of like a fun thing. It's
right.
like, oh, if it's flying past my Drake, can it use an opportunity attack to try and get it? And then they got a nat 20 on that.
Oh, okay. I thought that the Drake was like taking an opportunity attack to go and retrieve it. But no, it was like the Drake used its opportunity attack as
to
a
try
reaction.
To grab it in the air.
I like that. That's fun.
It's not fun for the other player who used their whole, like in a PvP, you're dead. If you wasted your turn, you're dead.
That's a good point. It is a good move. Like getting someone to throw their sword using like a high level mental spell like that.
Yeah.
But so if they're throwing the sword though, the Drake is literally right next to them. But I guess you don't get opportunity attacks objects.
Yeah. Why would you get an opportunity attack to do something that you don't like? That's the DM made that decision to essentially undo.
May I counter? This is a psychotic reaction.
They are being a DM's pet. I'm going to yell it too. DM's pet, DM's pet.
Really?
DM's pet. Maybe.
Whoa.
But let's see if there's anything else.
Right. I'll finish. DM's pet, DM's pet, DM's pet over and over, which really killed the mood of an otherwise cool finale.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just weird.
Justices, was this justified? Was the DM trying to keep my team's one ace in the hole fair? Or am I just the DM special baby boy?
Let me see what a Vorpal sword can do. I got to pull it up.
I think if you get a nat 20, does it decapitate them?
Whoa.
Or am I making
And they actually do mention, P.S., we agreed beforehand the Vorpal sword couldn't one-shot on crits for fairness, so it must do something like that.
Yeah, it says, if you roll a 20 on an attack roll, you cut off one of the creature's heads. The creature dies if it can't survive without the lost head.
Okay, so but they said they nerfed that.
So they nerfed that.
So it's just a +3 sword.
+3 sword, yeah.
For me, if I were the DM and someone was like, I'm throwing my sword, can my dragon that's bonded to me use an opportunity attack to try to catch it as I throw it? I would say yes to that, but I would also be extending creative freedom to the other players as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it, I don't think that that is an instance of favoritism.
I 100% agree with you when it's against the DM's like monsters. Like mm-hmm. if you guys come up with a creative solution where I'm like, okay. within the action mm-hmm. economy, this makes sense physically to me, where I'm like, I understand how this movie plays out. But once you're being like, the other player just fully wasted their turn in this
Actually, I think I do agree that in PvP,
you're just kind of a ref.
A lot of your license goes out the window because you were like, it has to be so by the book to not show favoritism.
May I suggest, though, that this is why PvP doesn't work?
For sure. It turns into
mm-hmm. someone standing yes. up after literally only one person has taken a turn and making personal accusations at yeah. another person.
Which maybe beats every other detail of the case is the fact that this person stood up and pointed.
Yes.
Which
yeah. I think to is me, a really... To me, I'm like, if you agree to PvP, there is a degree of you have to swallow. You're going to be losing to your friends. You have yeah. to swallow that.
But you also have to understand that in PvP, you're just going to get into fights in real life. Like, there's yeah. no way to not.
It's just how it works.
Yeah.
I think I just wouldn't DM PvP.
Yeah.
Personally,
yeah. Personally,
so.
The whole table uh-huh. sounds toxic.
Yes. I don't think, yeah.
It's also weird. Wasn't the DM also on this player's side in the PvP?
Yes.
That's also strange.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
If you cut out the reaction of DM's pet yes. and mm-hmm. you just say like, DM, you're the DM, you're pushing the scales in your favor. You're allowing some fuckery because it helped yeah. your side of three people.
That's compelling.
It feels like the sniff test is like, this fight was so one-sided. The DM knew they were going to lose and worked backwards to not get the sword thrown out.
Which
so early.
Just don't do PvP. People are all going to get mad at each other in real life.
I think I just can't get over how uncomfortable it was to just stand up and shout
DMs back. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah. If we're just saying like who was ruder at the table, it's the person who stood up and yelled.
I think the only person that's cool here at this table is the cleric who hasn't been mentioned except for the very
yeah.
Everyone else could be punished, I imagine.
I don't think that the person who, like the DM, let their Drake get an opportunity attack is at fault. They just, you're allowed to be like, oh, since my Drake is here, can it do that? And the DM's allowed right. to say no. And you have to smile and be okay if they say no. And if they say yes, you smile and you're okay with that.
I think we can have ranked punishments.
Okay.
I think we okay. can like, we can
oh,
like.
Oh, so like the worst offenders get like the meanest peanuts characters.
Exactly. Who's okay. the meanest peanuts? Of the peanuts.
So Linus is going to smother somebody with his blanket.
That's good.
You could tell the whole thing was going south because they said they ended the campaign due to decisions made by the characters. We all agreed that we should end the campaign with a PvP.
Oh, you're right. God, you're
it was all falling apart.
Yeah. The answer was right in front of us.
Yeah.
Do you think fraught. That there is ever a situation? I think that there's no situation where like, let's say you have a table and within the campaign, people are butting heads and the party isn't really working out as a group. Is there any situation where PvP resolves that or only exacerbates it? I think it only exacerbates it.
I think it only exacerbates
it. The idea mm-hmm. that yeah. it would be this cathartic release doesn't yeah. track.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem is when there are judgment calls with things that for some reason the game just doesn't spell out, like with things like disarming and stuff. I even find the ruling confusing when it comes to like a battle master, like knocks a sword out of your hand or something like that. Does that mean on your turn at the beginning, you can be like, as a free like object interaction, can I just pick my fucking sword back up, making the battle master's thing useless?
I think so.
That,
yeah.
yeah. So I don't know. So that's. PvP is so bad because then you have these judgment calls that are being made by not only the DM, who then has to kind of show favoritism towards someone yeah. because there's no rule for this. So they just have to rule with one person or the other person. And on top of that, the DM is in the fight while being
yeah.
a ref.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This
yeah.
is nuts.
Dude, Snoopy's cousins are going to have a fucking field day.
The peanuts. Here, you want PvP? How about PvP peanuts?
Peanuts.
Okay? Because yeah. the Peanuts gang is going to show up and kick everyone's ass. That's yeah. all.
And they all got skillets.
Yeah. And they all have.
They all got tiny skillets. And these are large skillets, too. These are well
yeah.
made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not, they're not using swarm rules, dude. They are all acting individually in initiative.
Yeah. Because I mean, if you read Peanuts, they are individualistic.
They are.
To a fault. To a fault.
Are they funny? No. Are they unique individuals with fun perspectives on life while also being children? Yes. Are their heads too big? Of course.
Yeah.
Do they speak like adults? Yeah. They kind of do. They voice adult sentiments.
And now they're your problem because it's Peanuts VP.
They're just tiny people with like adult baldness and adult sadness.
They're little folks. They're Sparky's little folks.
I have just gone full circle in this where like I understand where everyone's at. Except like if this person maturely was just like, hey, you're kind of showing favoritism here. Like, this isn't really fair. That'd be much better than standing up and yelling DM's pet, DM's pet.
So
but
intense.
I am, yeah. for interest of the show, I'm trying to just like determine, was there actual favoritism? As opposed to just being like, yeah, you're rude, so you're wrong.
Yeah. Guys, imagine if they made a Peanuts movie and it ends with Bob Odenkirk showing up and he says, my little folks.
That's the only thing that can save it.
Wait a second. Bob Odenkirk kind of looks like an adult Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He does have that kind of like put upon quality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why haven't they done adult Charlie Brown with Bob Odenkirk yet? Shit. Or is it in the works? I own it. Trademark.
Who owns Peanuts?
Apple Television.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, does anybody have an in with those guys?
Okay, I gotta talk to Apple TV and Bob Odenkirk.
Google's telling me majority owned by Sony.
Interesting. Yeah.
Let me see if I can cold email somebody. Emily, can I pass your idea as mine?
No, CC me and say Emily Axford's idea in the
fine.
And then put parentheses, she's shy.
All right. So this was always gonna be a mess. This is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The Peanuts gang.
Okay.
But you know what?
Thanks, because it led us to our Peanuts movie.
Yeah.
Starring Bob Odenkirk.
Good old Charlie Brown.
It just is like kind of fun because he has more hair as an adult than he did as like a, what is Charlie? Is he yeah. seven?
He's Benjamin Button.
He's so world mm-hmm. weary.
No, I think he just got finasteride. I think he just like figured out his look.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, he just went to a hair doctor. Maybe he got a transplant.
Oh, he went to Turkey.
No, yeah. Whoa.
That's all right.
And that's what turns his life around.
Movie opens on him stepping off a plane from Turkey. Fresh looks.
Red dots all over his scalp. Sally holds a football. He shakes his head. Not this time.
He takes a football.
I'm a new
tight
man.
Spiral hits Lucy square in the face. Yeah,
now we need someone other than Bob Odenkirk to play adult Charlie Brown.
Bradley Cooper.
We sure. Bradley oh, Cooper. I could see that.
50 years old.
I really could.
He's old now.
Yeah. Good old Charlie okay. Brown.
Got you.
There all it right. is.
It's just adult Charlie Brown. It doesn't yeah. need to be old.
People, okay, well, Cooper can still play 45. Cooper,
yeah.
I don't know how old that man is.
Yeah. He's older than us and we're 40.
Is he old enough to play adult Charlie Brown, though, is the question.
He's an adult. Yeah. I would argue if you were doing like early adulthood, you wouldn't. Should we, pick
you guys
him.
Want to guess when did Bradley Cooper come out?
Yeah.
Yeah. When did Bradley
I absolutely
Cooper come
could
out?
Do that.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So what? He's the cool guy in all the movies when I'm like 20. So he's 9 years older than me.
Okay.
He was born in 1976.
I'm going to say 1978.
I'm going to say earlier, and I think he's taking care of himself, 1975.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding. Caldwell got
what?
It.
Yes!
Wow.
Off of
so
my
tight.
Fucking guess, dude. You know, I set the fucking good. Base.
Yeah, I rationalized.
Like, earlier, 1 year.
Yeah, Murph did the Murph
yeah,
math.
I didn't
try to disguise okay. it. You said, I'm going to go way earlier than Murph.
Yeah.
Murph's off. I'll go 1975.
I thought about going 1974, but something in my gut told me that if I
to
just
benefit
off of
fucking
Murph,
Murph
yeah.
math.
I must yeah. not be good at detecting age because I definitely was like, it's probably like 82.
Yeah, I mean, he could have been.
That's,
yeah.
that's the Cooper charm, though.
I also yeah. don't think I've seen that man in something in a decade.
Until good old Charlie Brown comes up. And he shows the world a new side of him.
Yeah. His career has really been stalling out. We can help him. Okay, shall we step into church?
Let's
yeah.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
This confession is from Kyle. To the esteemed judges and the host of MySpace BFF Season 2, Episode 10.
Whoa. Wow.
Deep pull.
Is that real?
I did host a game show on MySpace called BFF, but I don't think there was a second season. So it's half real.
Maybe they just split the first season in two so they had to pay you less.
Yeah. Well, there's still time. We can pick it up for a second season. Nice. I don't know what MySpace is up to, but I'm free. I would like to bring up something before the church that I have witnessed. I just joined a game with a player I have never met before. During the first game, I discovered he has a very unique dice rolling method that makes me uncomfortable.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Is it a belly button roll?
Oh, it might be a belly button roll. No, we did discover that.
He uses a dice tower and covers the bottom tray with a piece of paper so he cannot see the dice roll. He then rolls his D20 into the dice tower and keeps the bottom tray covered up. When he is called on to make a roll, he lifts the paper and gives the result of the previously rolled die.
Huh.
In some instances, the die is cold and has been sitting in the tray for 20 plus minutes.
Oh my God.
When he's done rolling dice, he covers the tray up again and rolls a D20 again, so he has a roll sitting and waiting. When I asked why he was doing this, he told me it was a faster, more efficient method of rolling dice.
Wait, why?
Because I guess it technically saves you like a second.
I've run the numbers. We will finish our game 5 minutes early as a result of my efforts.
Judges, have I witnessed a sin against Dice Christ? Is it blasphemy to allow a rolled die to sit 30 minutes before being used?
This is...
I kind of don't think it is blasphemy. I think it's weird and I don't understand it, but I don't think it's against the will of the dice in a weird way.
I think it's his version of worship.
Yeah,
you think so?
Yeah, I mean, the restraint that he has to show to not look at that dice.
I do agree that this person isn't cheating because you like see them roll it. So you see them like drop it and then they just save it there. But isn't it kind of defeating the purpose of the game? Isn't the purpose of the game like that everyone rolls and has fun together? But, the idea that,
But maybe they want to feel.
I guess I'm letting the religion take over in my
head. No, but I am too. And that's why I am like, I don't think that, because there is a different take on it, which is that like, I want to distance myself rolling as much as possible so that the number is coming from the dice. And it's like divorcing my action so that it is just there and it feels like it is purely coming from the dice.
What I will say is that much like going to church, it's a communal activity. Everyone is there together. They're all witnessing the roll happen in the moment.
Wouldn't it be? Yeah, I do agree with you. I'm of two minds on this because I am, now that I'm thinking about it, I am sitting there being like, what is under that paper?
Yeah.
And then when that person, when it's like, oh, time for persuasion check, pulls the paper and reveals what was rolled 30 minutes ago.
Okay.
That's I'm kind of having fun.
The anticipation is still
really
there.
It's really weird, but I also think, I don't think it's blasphemy.
Is it kind of like when people are like, I go skydiving, that's how I worship, and stuff like that.
It's like a rad youth pastor.
It is a bit of a rad youth pastor move.
Do we have to, like, maybe we're being stodgy? Is this like...
But I think we're not being stodgy because our minds are open to this.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, the church has to keep on growing.
The reasoning being it's more efficient, I'm just kind of ignoring.
It's definitely not.
Wholeheartedly ignoring. Yeah.
Theoretically, you would... be able to like save through, like, this is how long it takes to roll a dice.
The problem with D&D has never been that like it takes too long to roll the D20.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you're looking for a more efficient game, D&D is not for you.
Yeah.
Maybe this person likes the dice tower too much, and maybe the dice tower does take a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's
The dice tower is part of how they worship, and maybe the dice like that little journey down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun. Maybe it's fun for the dice to descend a tower.
Yeah.
Some people worship on a surfboard, man.
That's out fair, there, dude.
First morning light.
Wow.
For some reason, it feels to almost more ascetic than like youth pastor.
Oh, yeah. It's a little more like a monk in a tower.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. It's all like a vow of silence or something.
Okay. So I'm going to say we all worship in our own ways. Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah. So
we're just going to
As long as this person doesn't ask you.
Accept your brother at the table.
Yeah. I mean, as long as if the roles are legit and you get like a fun little reveal, I mean, don't get me wrong, this is very strange. This is very strange. I'm thrown off. Oh, guys, I'm thrown off.
Guys, I got a letter here from the Dice Pope. We have been excommunicated.
Oh, shit.
No!
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we're going to have to start
even more so
then
we have to start being cool.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay,
it's time for a cool pastor move. Yeah. I love it.
I almost want to try it. I think I would hate it because I love the act of rolling the dice. But when you think about it, loving the act of rolling the dice, that is a little bit, that's ego driven.
Mm-hmm.
This person is taking ego out of the mix.
Here, you got a piece of paper right here. Let's test it out.
Wait, but I'm not gonna reveal.
What
I can't test it out right
this is,
now.
This is giving.
Well, she'll reveal it on the short rest.
This is giving there. Flip a DVD.
I put it, I rolled it. It's under a thing. No, we can't talk about it for.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it on the short rest.
On
we'll
the
talk
short
about
rest.
It on the short
That's
rest.
Good. This is, the short rest. Okay.
Wow. We've
reveal.
Just proven how bad this is. All right, you have to stop this person.
It's fun because you get to see the flip and also you can watch the DVD later.
I will say, though, you could probably go to the rule book and be like, by rules as written, you can't do this. Because you do like call for a roll.
Yeah.
Like, so you could just buy the book, just say no.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's okay. I think it's okay to be weirded out by it, but keep an open mind and see if there's a way that you can find some beauty in their unconventional tactics.
Yeah. We're thinking about being cool with this.
We'll find out halfway through the short rest when I reveal my role.
Yeah. Honestly, if the role's good, we're on board.
Yeah. That's how we'll decide.
Oh.
All right. With that, we're going to go ahead
and
wrap this
one up.
Do you
think that we should, but now that we know what the role is, should I reveal it?
No. Okay. Got to wait for the short rest.
Yeah. All right. We're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening.
Wow.
We'll talk more about the specifically the mystery of the role over on the short rest.
If you want the mystery to be revealed, you got to pay us $5 for my children. Thank you.
Patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Sweet.
Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Ooh. Yes, we are coming to London on September 30th, the London Palladium. Check it out. nadpod.com/live for tickets.
Sweet.
Not a lot left.
Yeah. Ooh. Check that out. And you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use at CSpressMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Afford's Emily, and at Jake Roach's Jake. And you can talk about the show online using #NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of a nation. We are the youth of a nation. Dungeon.
Well. It is time to thank our benevolent Council of Elders, and they are Brad D., Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, Later McSkater, Cutter W., Olivia A., Daniel G., Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Carpe Liam, Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Hoyt's Friend, His Fortune, Justin I., Danny Danster, TJM, Hey Lay, The Cray Fay, D. Rohi, Now You Have to Say It, Jordan L., Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Stevie Wags, Hellish Rebuker, the NBDM PhD, Jack L., Nicholas C., Star of Every Film Ever Made in Bohemia, Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Tyler F., Lori A., Hercule Poirot, The Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Jake's Jerk Jelly, #CCC, Cass Skateboard Cass, Stephen C., Teehee, Joy T., Nick W., Nico, the Underpaid English Teacher, William W., Big Bad Beardo, the Mad, Nova, Percival, Frederickstein von Muscle, Klawowski, DiRollo III, J. Dragonborn, Guardian of the Vibe, Honoring the Cock, Ben A., Dave H., Dustin S., Not That Nick, Danny F., Hawkeye, Pierce, Big Bad John, DPC, is awesome. Sean, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbaldar, Summer RG, Misa of House Unzunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, Velociraptor, Be Perky Always, Pat L, Lauren H, Serve 16, Annie, the Feywild Therapist, Pierogi Frenzy, Jack M, Biocourt 7, Bean Rat Was Innocent, Trub Hop Dropper, Jack H, King of the Mole People Under Iron Deep, Dressed in Blue and Fighting His Way Through a Bracket-Style Tournament, Valen, Paj, The Bitchin' Bunny Bard, Druidic, Peyton, Carlin C, Omri M, Noah, The Gentleman Fister, #HonorTheCock, James G, Ixie, Archfey of Dreams, Everything Bago, The Eladrin Who Just Wants to Hang Out with His Pet Badger, Stripey, Han, Marcos, PhD, Eventually, Learns the Balanced Druid, Frida M, Maggie, Holly, The Green Laughing Hyena, Papa Bambino in Chinos, Russell H, Cody C, Lorelei the Succubi, and Kira the Succulent Snack, Ellen S, James F, Wayfarer now has to do something with the trolls, get rid of them, turn to page 42, keep them, turn to page 69, Oreo, city, name, Barpo Goodbarrel, Barbarian, Charlie Brown's best friend, Renee the Monster Captain, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, and Jared the Soap Opera Cleric, who are expecting their first youngin' soon. Wow, congratulations. Blue A, Fico, J, K Guard, Fairies in a Summer Slough, hanging with the Two Crew, Cantrip Dumbledore, the Bear Onesie Wearing Barbarian, Lexi H, MJ the BFG, Roger L, Nodrog, the Pass a Fist Barbarian, Nick J, Zudrick's Unofficial Fifth Crow, Gustos, Gianluca, Hannah Rose, Shenanigans O'Connor, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Sky, the eldest coffee master of Bohemia, enjoying a nitro cold brew with Balnor, the Spud Fucker himself, Johnny Dude K, the mischief of Nadpod's familiars, Pabu Escanor, the Goliath Paladin, providing service with a smile, Jakewell Murphily, Tim M, Dragon Knight 86, Richard, Scrungle, the main event, TR, MLG, Cheeto, Shelby, Kenna's first favorite sprite girl, a possum moved in under my porch and we have named her Mama, damn right, Jet S, meeting a vampire princess at a goth club right before City Council of Darkness started, changed my life for the better, Morgan, Eleanor V, Stormy 52, Meemaw Skydays, Fuck You, I Love You, Eat a Rat, Megan N, Anthony B, Balnor's best friend Steve, Stephanie of House in Zunza, Benjamin A, Sacrificial Otaku, bringing otaku culture to a fantasy realm near you, Mikkel A, Josh H, Pilot of the Nightmareverse Flight, Ethan the Mailman, Adrian M, Maple the Shy Bookworm, Nick AJ, Ashosaurus, Billy B, Mithril Mage, Tori the Tungsten Dragoose, My Other Car is a Twink, Michael L.S. the Second, Carl B., Plumber of the Realm, Sunworm, Ace Dregs, High Lord of Kritzberg, Venn Diagram, D.M. Charby, Catamilius the Consumed, Cam the Frogborg Man, Dean, Jake W., Hi Mom, Tuesday Cross, only here for the Surf and Murph, We Love You, Rat Jesus, S'mores, Tyler McM, Zibby DeBakery, Bad GG, Snake Release, Kaylee of the Oaken Ore, Katarina C, Carly C, Rachel Dies in Animorphs, Damn It, Casey J, Pawpaw's Litigation Associate, Greg W, Go Listen to Short Rest, It's Bonfrere Behavior, Baruch Thunderhelm, Fifth Generation Minotaur, working as an abandoned labyrinth tour guide, Cappy B of the Schooner, Louis R. French, Richard E, Jen's Left Glove Tailor, Kaju Dawn, the Alaskan Almanac Artificer, Archivist, the Waterworth, your four-legged Greg companion, Nick, Mo, Pawpaw's pen pal, he says Pensacola is nice, the Raging Ranger, Echo Ashmore, Chef Julie B, Mama Mayhem, 404, Error Ick, Almost Dr. Katz, Lorelei, Oscar the Salad Czar, Thomas C, Little Dark Lotus Creations, Kendra M, James the Polymorphed Boot, Joshua H, Jacob M, Lou H, Ben V, Prince Slagathor III, Timothy A, Toxic Ghost, Daniel Mick A, Chris A, Angie H, Fern M, Kenna's least favorite sprite girl, Shy Sign 23, I'm Just Sam, Anthony H, Anthony J, proprietor of the Crick's Lazy River Floating Tour, Nate P, Cage B, Ernie is a good boy, Helena, sister of Maureen Emporium, and of course, Pam S. Thank you, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.